So now we come to a neglected species, Saint fern. And today I want to talk about a part of my PhD thesis, so the genetic characterization in Saint fern, Onibrychis vitifolia, inbreeding in an outbreeding species. First of all, I want to give you a short introduction about this plant because I'm sure not everybody in this room knows this plant before. So about Saint fern. Saint fern is from the legume family Fabaceae. It's native to the Middle East. And from the growth type, it's erect or prostrate. Now I come to the genetics. So it's a tetraploid plant. That means from the agronomic side, it's a tetraploid plant. There are also existing diploids, but they are not relevant for agronomy. The origin of this polyploidy is not known. From the literature, there are different opinions. Sometimes it's mentioned that Saint fern is allotetraploid. Others mentioned it's autotetraploid, so we don't know. It's a monoecious plant and it's self-incompatible. This is the meaning what's until now in the literature. It's insect-pollinated, and for the animal nutrition, it's really important because it has a high content of tannins, so the secondary metabolites, and it prevents the animals from bloating and from parasites. So it's beneficial for the animal health. And it's improving the soil fertility because as a legume, it's possible to fix nitrogen from the air, and there's less need for fertilizers. So about the use of Saint fern. In Europe, it's normally grown in mixtures and for production of hay and silage. So we can have up to 5 cuts per year. The pure stands, like I have in my trial, I come up to that later, are more for experimental design or seed multiplication. There are also some farmers in Great Britain which have pure stands of Saint fern, but they're not much. So the reason why Saint fern in Europe is not that widely adopted is the poor competitive strength of Saint fern. Here in the picture, in the circles, you can hardly see the Saint fern plants. It's a mixture of alfalfa, lolium, and Saint fern. The seeds were at the same density on the fields, but after some time, the other plants overgrown the Saint fern plants. Additionally, Saint fern have a weak recovery from overgrazing, and therefore it's not persistent in grasslands for a long time. And it's sensitive to waterlogging. On the contrast, it really likes hot and dry areas. And which is also interesting for the breeding part, it's a population variety. So we have a lot of diversity inside the populations. And even if it's a variety, not every plant looks like the same. So it's really difficult to find homogeneity. And there's little information known about genetics. That's our part we're interested in. I'm a part of a European-wide project, the Legume Plus project, and we have 12 PhD students and 2 postdocs on doing research about Saint fern and other legumes for agronomical values, breeding, chemistry, parasitology, and animal nutrition. For people which are interested in the agronomy of Saint fern, there is another poster session for grazing and grasslands, and a colleague of mine will present his results from the agronomy part of Saint fern. So now I come to the aims of our research. Because there's not much information known of the genetics of Saint fern, we want to establish a linkage map, and based on this, doing a QTL analysis. But from the first results we have from our field trial, they're really unexpected because all the plants showed highly maternal effects for almost all traits. That's quite unusual for population variety, and I come to our field trial now. So our field trial, we have plant material which comes from 4 crosses we did in greenhouse with bumblebee pollination. We have 4 contrasting varieties from Austria, Switzerland, and Czech Republic. And we have 2 times the same variety. The reason is because I mentioned before that a population variety is so inhomogeneous inside that we can see the differences if we have 2 times the same variety. We have 5 clones of each parent together in a greenhouse and did a pollination by bumblebees. This resulted in a field trial with 760 genotypes. As you can see on the picture, there's a fence around the field because there are some deers coming to the field and ate the flowers of my plants. So it was hardly difficult then to analyze the flowering time. So we phenotyped these plants over 3 years and additionally genotype them with ESRAP markers. I come to that now. And to SSR markers, which are newly developed by colleagues and via SNPs through GBS sequencing. Now I came to the ESRAP markers. The ESRAP markers is a PCR-based technique. These are dominant markers, so the sequence-related amplified polymorphism, and they are quite easy to use in a lot of species, also in same form. They amplificate in the coding region of the genome, and they are easy built up. So as you can see here on the picture, we have 10 to 11 bases as a filler, then the core sequence with the CCGG at the forward primer, and then three selective nucleotides. I use four pairs of these ESRAP primers, and I can see only the absence or the presence of an allele. Now I will show you the results transferred to an Excel sheet, and I think I have to explain that in detail. So at the bottom of that Excel sheet, we have the parental plants of one cross in three repetitions. Red, the color red, means we have the allele present. Blue means there's the absence of the allele. And as you can see, there's a pattern. This is one population, and we have always a pattern. And then we think about what happened. And then we thought that might be comes from self-fertilization in this plant, because there are a lot of plants which have exactly the same pattern like the parental plant, the maternal plant. So it's difficult to analyze a dominant marker, but when we're looking at the absence of the allele, and we have in the offspring the same pattern for the absence of the allele for every marker, that's a strong hint that we have a self-fertilization. So if we translate this result from the Excel sheet in a principal component analysis for every population, we have this picture. The bigger symbols in every population are the parental plants, surrounded by the smaller signs. These are the offspring we are characterized as self-fertilized. And in the middle, we have the supposed crosses. And the picture is for almost every population exactly the same. And that's a strong hint that we have in the so-mentioned self-incompatible plant self-fertilization. So out of this, we came to this result from the dominant markers. So we have for four populations up to 75% of self-fertilization. That's more than the half. This was really unexpected. These results were then later confirmed by the newly developed SSR markers and also by the phenotyping results if we cluster our populations in selfings and crosses. So from this, I came to the phenotyping results. So we have here the plant height from the last year, and we have in every population a better performance of the crosses. They were always higher significantly. So we can say we have on the one side an inbreeding depression for the selfings or heterosis for the crosses. For the next trait, the flowering time, we have earlier flowering in the crosses of these populations, significantly earlier, depending on what you have, want to have later. If you want to have biomass or seed multiplication, it's an important factor. Then the tannin content, which is the part, interesting part for the animal nutrition, we have no significant effect between crosses and selfings. And then that's a good part, because it opens new possibility for breeding of high tannin content. So out of this, I wanted to know what happened in natural populations, because we did greenhouse pollinations with bumblebees, and there was a high selection pressure in the greenhouse chambers, because not always every plant flowers, so the bumblebees have not a wide variety of choices for flowers, and that might be a reason why we have that high content of self-fertilization. So what happens in natural populations? So for this, I sampled on three field sites, maternal leaf material and the corresponding seeds, and analyzed them with ESRAP markers and with SSR markers. And out of this, we come to this result. So we have here our three field sites. The first site is in front of our institution in Switzerland, and with always eight maternal plants and about 110 offspring, we come to much lower results of self-fertilization in this plant. So for the one field site, it was only one plant, and the highest amount was six plants. So So that's not much. So we can see there's clear difference if we do the pollinations in the greenhouse or we have the pollinations on the field. So out of this we came to our conclusion that Saffron is able to self-fertilize. So there is no self-incompatibility system. But the degree is highly dependent on environment, if we are on the greenhouse or in the field, and inbreeding depression is visible. But this opens also new possibilities, so hybrid breeding on the basis of inbred lines might become possible, and we have then maybe better performing plants. And also for future breeding attempts, we have to do precautions. If we want to have a cross, we have to emasculate the maternal plants. That's also have to keep in mind. So with this, I want to say thank you to a lot of people and to the European Union for funding our project. And now I'm open for questions. Thank you. Yeah, we now have a lot more SSR markers developed by colleagues, and we are now using them and characterizing them. But it's a lot to do it in the beginning to characterize these new SSR markers. But the best confirm our results. Yeah.
Any other questions? So when you compare the populations that come from the different countries, is there a lot of genetic variation based on the geographical origin, or is it relatively more uniform?
It's more uniform, I would say. So there's not so much differentiation inside, but it's difficult. Up to now, we have only the SRAP markers, so the dominant markers. I think we will have the full picture if we use the SSR markers finally. Yeah.
Okay, very good. Thank you very much.
Thank you.